Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, happy Thursday, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And as usual, for those of you who are in the LA area and would like to call in, the number is 424-258-9337. And for everyone else, including everyone right here in the absolutely beautiful, but it looks like we're heading into fall, San Francisco Bay Area, the toll-free number is 877-697-9725. Also, we have the chat room open. So if you'd like to log in, and you can say hi to producer Kina and just hang out there and listen or make any comments. And if you do have a question, you can type it up and Kina will make sure it gets to me. And I will be logging into the chat room after the show. So, due to the fact that, you know, I've got through a cold and, you know, I'm in that last little bit of the dry cough that is just the last irritating vestiges of any type of respiratory thing, the idea of health and wellness has been very much on my mind. And when I think about health and wellness, of course, I think about information. And one of the really amazing things about the internet, that if you really take a moment to think, pretty much anyone with a computer has access to the collective knowledge of humanity. And in moments, we can have information at our fingertips that not that long ago, I mean just a few decades ago, would have required days and weeks of research. I mean, if anybody who is sort of in that 50-ish zone remembers what it was like when you were young to go do research, it meant a trip to the library, it meant the, you know, the world atlas and the world encyclopedia that was probably outdated, but, you know, you had to figure out a way to get new information. Now, you can just go in, type anything, and get information just almost more than what you even wanted to know. So, you know, the amazing capacity of the internet to provide people with not just general knowledge, but specifically health knowledge, it really is amazing. And it is a tool that, in fact, I use quite often if I'm researching something that is a particularly interesting case. And, you know, I'm able to pull stuff up and the latest research. So, I mean, just wonderful aspect of the internet that way. And one of the aspects under the internet is social media. And we're talking Facebook, we're talking, you know, the various groups, we're talking Twitter and Pinterest and Instagram and all those ways that people are able to socialize without actually seeing anybody. I myself am on Facebook, and it is a wonderful way to be able to keep track of friends and, you know, people you haven't seen in a while, or if you're trying to find somebody, and being able to reconnect and maintain connections. Now, as I always say, there's light and shadow to everything. And the ability to maintain contact with people who you can't see on an everyday basis is a wonderful aspect of it. There is also a shadow aspect as well. And today we're kind of going to be looking at that. I have noticed on an increasing level that I find a bit alarming. People are taking health issues and posting them on Facebook and saying, "So guys, what do you think?" And a lot of things that come up. My dog got skunked. So yes, I went to Facebook and said, "Hey, my dog got skunked," and got a whole list of solutions and things that, you know, could help that I was able to try. That's a wonderful thing. That is different from describing what could be a fairly serious health issue, relying on friends and acquaintances and all of that to guide you through a process. And I have actually seen some things that, I mean, symptoms I found pretty alarming that had been going on for a while, that when they posted, so what do you think I should do? My response was, call a doctor, call 911, have someone drive you to an emergency room. There's an old saying with fixing cars that the sound that is a problem that costs $30 to correct can be identical to the sound that a problem that will cost $3,000 to correct. When dealing with health and wellness issues, there's an entire spectrum. It could be something really tremendously minor that has symptoms that may seem very serious. Or some things that are very serious have symptoms that can be very minor. And the reason that I call this particular episode Consider the Source, it does not mean that you shouldn't, you know, check with the people you know and say, hey, you know, I'm having this thing. What do you think? And, you know, getting input, especially if it's somebody who has had something similar. There is always great opportunities to be able to get insight. And it's comforting if somebody says, you know what, I had that. It turned out to be this. You might try this particular thing. Now, I know that there are a lot of folks out there who have really a lot of very dynamic sort of perspectives on the medical community. And speaking as a chiropractor, and, you know, the general theory is, oh, well, you know, MDs don't like you, which is actually not true. I have had some of the most fantastic co-management opportunities with my MD brothers and sisters. And, you know, and they work hard. They've studied hard. They do what they need to do. And it's kind of like throwing the baby out with the bathwater to just say you can't trust any of them, which is not true. Are there good and bad MDs? Yes. Are there good and bad mechanics? Are there good and bad chiropractors? The trick is to find someone that resonates with you, someone that you feel you can trust, someone that comes recommended. If you've had a bad experience with a doctor, it's not that all doctors are the problem. It's just that one. And on several occasions, I've done referrals and actually found MDs for some of my patients because I realized that what it is that I'm working with and my scope of practice is not going to fully serve what that person needs. And the most important thing to me is that their wellness needs be met. And sometimes the best way to do that is to co-manage. So, you know, if you have distrust of doctors, then just find the right one for you. Talk to somebody you know, because there's almost everybody has that one doctor that they just adore. And I've been lucky to have a few of those myself. And yeah, I work very well with them. And I find that many can be tremendously open-minded if you prefer alternative stuff. That doesn't mean that Western medicine is not for you. It's just you find the way that it gets managed that works within your philosophy. So the idea that, you know, if you want to put out information, if it is something, you know, if it's a high fever that's been going on for several days, if it's a rash with a high fever, if it's, you know, either vomiting or diarrhea or anything like that that's been going on for a while, if you're posting, I can barely stand up and the room is spinning and I can't catch my breath, that is not the time to check in on Facebook and say, gee, what do you guys think? That is the time to call up a friend, say, hey, I need you to take me over to acute care or the emergency room. Or if there's nobody to take you, that's the time to call 911. You know, check in with somebody. Because while recommendations and suggestions can be wonderful and amazing, and yes, even in one of those cases, maybe it turns out it's just a bad flu. It's better to know that for certain. It's better to be able to have the resources available to you to be able to say, you know what, you know, this person needs blood work. And a lot of times, depending on what the symptoms that somebody's having, it's like, hey, you know, I really think that it might be a good idea for you to get some blood work. It sounds like maybe you might have a little bit of anemia going on. or maybe there's an infection in the system. Because if they come to me for back pain and I just keep cranking away at that low back and don't consider, well, maybe they've got a kidney stone, then that's on me. Because my job is to ultimately fulfill the agreement of providing that person with the best possible care, whether it's me giving it or not. And I have made referrals out. I have almost strong-armed patients into, it's like, you know what, you need to get some blood work done. And I can happily say that every time I've done that, I've been very happy with the fact that we were able to find out what was really going on with the person. And I am a huge fan of good eating and nutritional, you know, type of lifestyles that really support you. And I don't think any one thing will cure everything. And one of my concerns is that I see on Facebook where people are accepting advice, oh, what you need is turmeric, or what you need is this, or hey, if you do this and, you know, it'll clear it up immediately. Well, maybe and maybe not. And talking with somebody who really has a background, has training, has certification in something, I would rather see someone say, you know what, I had something similar, this is what worked for me, and there are a lot of other things that could be going on. Have you talked to your doctor? Have you talked to a nutritionist? Have you talked to a pain specialist? The idea that the magic bullet that cures everything, you know, it really is not out there. And that same magic bullet may work for one person, but not work for another. One of, you know, my big challenges is when I talk to people who share their prescription medications. And it really is, you know, prescriptions can be tricky enough as it is. They're designed for that person. And the idea that it's important to be able to, for the doctor to know, okay, what have you been taking? What are your circumstances? And that's why I'm giving you this medication. And, you know, whether people believe it's just like, well, they just want to write out a prescription and, you know, the big pharmaceuticals and all that stuff, all of that aside, a prescription is given because that particular person has a particular need. And by simply, it's like, oh, well, you know, I got this pain medication from my doctor, here, you take it. There could be things that are going on with that person that you don't know about. Maybe a medication they're taking, maybe a supplement they're taking that could react badly to it. So pretty much the rule of thumb is if it's not prescribed for you, don't take it. Now you can contact your doctor and say, well, you know what? My friend was taking this. Will that work for me? Which is why it is crucial to develop a good relationship with whoever your medical practitioner is. And, you know, and I do have compassion for the MDs, because in a lot of cases, especially in the big managed care systems, they can't spend as much time with people as they would like. I always like to believe that any doctor, no matter what their field, came into it for the same reason that I did, because I want to make a positive impact on people's lives, and I want to help them lead the best possible life they can. In my heart, I believe that everybody who went into it with that in mind. And maybe it's not as easy as it used to be, you know, the old hometown doctor. I mean, how many of us watched Marcus Welby and, you know, The Office out of the house? And for those who really want to go back, Donna Reed, her husband was a doctor who worked out of the house and all of that. So the idea of the old hometown doctor is really not one that is very common anymore. You know, at least not in this country, it isn't. So, yeah, it is a challenge because sometimes there isn't as much time to spend. And it is still worth it. It is still good to have knowledge. Whether or not you decide to follow what the doctor advises, that's up to you. You have the autonomous right. If a doctor says, well, this is what I think is going on, and this is what I want to do. If you don't want to do that, that is completely up to you. Nobody says you have to do what a doctor says. I should know. I have patients who don't. And it's their right. What I prefer is that if I make a suggestion, they go, okay, you know, walking every day, that's not happening. Or, no, I refuse to give up smoking. Or, you know, I'm not going to, for whatever reason. You know, I'm not going to do the water aerobics because I hate how I look in a bathing suit. Whatever it is, then I go, okay, if you're not going to do that, how about we figure out something that will work that will get you the same result? So that's where the dialogue with your medical professionals come in. That's where the empowerment that you carry as your own personal advocate, or if you can't advocate for yourself, to find somebody who can go with you to the appointments and say, hey, here's the questions. When they talk about writing out questions before you go to a doctor's appointment, that is an excellent idea. Because when you're in there and you're feeling rushed, it's really hard. And when I have a patient who comes back to me and I ask them, well, what did the doctor say? And they go, I really don't know. I think I knew when I walked out, but now I don't know. A lack in communication, and it's also a lack in clarity. Often, if you don't ask questions, the doctor will assume you know what they're talking about. So being able to say, you know what, doc, can you explain that another way? And I have done it in a lot of cases where it's like, okay, are you clear on what I'm saying? And, you know, it's kind of like the head nods, but the eyes are telling me no. It's like, all right, how about if I explain it this way? And then I try again, and I try again, and I try again. And having my own practice allows me that time to be able to do that. And you can still do it with a doctor who has to have you in and out in like 10 minutes. And having the questions up front is really, really helpful. It is wonderful to have people who have had a lot of experience with different things. And the place where that can come in, not so much as, well, you know, I'm going to tell you what you should be doing, is to be a support. Anyone who has been through cancer, if they see somebody posting, you know, hey, just found out, you know, I have cancer, it's not about telling them medically what their options are and what they should be doing. That makes that person excellent for listening. Wow, sorry to hear that. Give me a call or private message me. You know, we can talk about this. I'm happy to share my experience. And that also becomes an excellent person to help them be able to know the questions that they can ask. So there's nothing wrong with getting help through social media and through Facebook and Twitter and all of that stuff by putting it out there, hey, I've got this thing going on and I'm scared and I don't know what to do. That is excellent because it opens the door for being able to be supported. And I really hope that people support, because I've seen some really very unkind things posted in response to a cry for help, in response to, wow, I've got this thing going. Well, you know, you're not doing this and you're not doing that or whatever. You know, that's not necessary. Use it in the way that it was meant to be used, to reach out and support, to be able to be there for someone who maybe for some reason is having a hard time reaching out one-on-one, so they kind of put it out to everybody. To be able to provide that person with someone to talk to. Hey, you know, let me come by, I'll pick you up, and I'll drive you to the hospital. I'll wait there with you, and don't worry. Or, hey, you know, you go do what you need to do, I'll come over and I'll watch your kids. I'll make dinner, tidy up the house. By the time you get home, you know, all you have to do is go and lay down. That is the type of support that really helps. And, you know, I would not, and I've been asked to, you know, it's like, well, you know, these are my symptoms and this is what's going on. What do you think? I think you should see a doctor. I think that you should come in and have me take a look at you so we can go into a little bit more detail. It is tremendously difficult without actually having the person there to get an idea as to what's going on. There's a ballpark. And like I said, there's a whole spectrum of things that could be going on. One example, someone, you know, can post, oh, wow, you know, having this pain under my left shoulder blade. And maybe, you know, massage therapists log in and it's like, well, it's this muscle and it's this muscle, so go out and get a massage. You'll do better. And somebody else may say it's like, well, you know, spiritually that means that your heart is not as open as it could be and you need to go and lighten up yourself or you need to use positive affirmations. Well, it could be any one of those things. And pain under the left shoulder blade is also an indication of a problem with the gallbladder. And a lot of people don't know that. But if you go to a doctor's office, they'll probably say, hey, you know, maybe it is a musculoskeletal issue, and it could also be something to do with your organs. Let's run some blood work and see what's going on. And there are indications that are on that that will give a very good idea as that if it's something within the system, then, okay, that's what you need to deal with because that could become serious. The thing is that what there's a saying about gambling. Never gamble more than what you're willing to lose. And when you gamble with your health, that can be really, really tricky. Because if you don't know what's going on, then you go on assumptions that may or may not be true. I've had cases where people come in and they'll have a particular type of pain and, you know, and I'll check them out, I'll do an evaluation, and it's like, okay, this is what I need from you first. I need to get an x-ray. I need to see some blood work because I don't want to make this worse. And I could be wrong, and I would be very happy if I am, but there are things I want to check out and rule out before we start going with the standard treatment. And it hasn't happened often, but I do look for those red flags. And unless you know the red flags to look for, it's kind of hard to narrow them down. Another thing, there's a saying that goes, I know I'm full of sayings today. There's another saying that says, if all you have is a hammer, then all the world has to be a nail. So if you have a particular issue and you speak to a nutritionist, well, their approach is going to be nutritional. If you speak to a chiropractor, well, the first thing we look at is what is the musculoskeletal thing doing? You know, what are the joints doing? What are the muscles doing? And if you speak to an internist, and they're going to look for the internal stuff. So whoever you speak to is going to come primarily from that place of their own expertise, which there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, oh, okay, you talk to your nutritionist friend, and they say, it's like, well, you know, there's these things that in your diet that, you know, you may need to change, or, you know, maybe you've ingested something that could be difficult for your body. And you go, okay, great, cool. And then you talk to your chiropractic friend, and then you talk to your internist friend, and you talk to your MD friend. And you get all these different perspectives, and then you, as an empowered and knowledgeable individual, say, okay, I've gotten all of this input, and I've done some research on my own. What do I want to do with all of this information I've got? And even if you don't know how to do the research, contact your average teenager. They apparently can get anything off the internet. Or, you know, talk to somebody and say, hey, you know, have you ever heard of this? Recently I had somebody who said, oh, well, you know, my friend has this and these are the symptoms and, you know, and we believe condition. So can you go over and take a look at her and run some tests or do whatever you do? Well, what that was had to do more with an inner ear issue, which I did not have the equipment to test for, and I let them know that. I found a local center that was very close to where the woman was and who specialized in that. And it's like, you know what? And they really wanted me to go over there. It's like, you know what? This is not something that I would be able to test for to the degree that this person needs it. What is best for them is to get over to this office. And that is all that they do. So they really know their stuff. So being able to find resources for someone is a very important thing. You know, it's issue that can either be minor or major. But without information, you really don't know what's going on. And in order to make an informed, empowered decision, you have to. And even if you're not sure you want to know, it's even more important in that case. Because sometimes people will have issues and they're afraid of what the answer is. They're afraid of what they might find out. They're afraid that it could be that worst case scenario that they've been mulling over in their head and they don't want to know. And if somebody you know is posting, you know, out there or even talking a lot about conditions that they're having and they haven't gone and had any tests done, please encourage them to be able to go and take that step. It may be scary. And I've gone with folks to doctor's appointments and just help them hear what it is that the doctor has to say. In most cases, not in all, but in most cases, it's not as bad as most people think. And in the cases where it is as bad as they think, it's not getting any better by not doing anything. So, yes, social media can really support, it can help, it can empower, and it can let people know when somebody needs help. I know of someone recently who had someone post that they were going to end their own life, and the person was, you know, all the way over in another state. And this individual decided, you know what, feel good, it doesn't feel right, so she actually contacted the police where they were at. And she gave them the information that she had on them. They were able to find the guy, and he got help that he really needed. And later on, he contacted her and said, you were one of the only ones who said anything, and you were the only one who acted on it. And now that I'm getting help, I can see that that was not my solution. So, you know, it's amazing how much good we can do. But remember, folks who go to school for a long time and who train for a long time to do something, you know, maybe they don't have the best personality, and maybe you're not happy with the answers they give you. That's what second opinions are for. Find someone you trust. Find someone who you resonate with and find out what's really going on. Because the sooner you do that, the sooner you can go into that empowered place of making decisions and being able to take the best possible care of yourself that you can. Consider the source. Don't rule out anything, but decide where the best information is for you to get. And be healthy. And don't be scared. It's going to be okay. So, thank you for joining me. If you'd like to know more about me, you can log in to my website at www.the-healing-house.com. You can also friend me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. So, in the meantime, I wish you balance. I wish you blessings. I wish you knowledge and wisdom and people who will support you to get the most out of life that you can get. I'll be logging into the chat room after the show. So until next week, this is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. Take care.